Who's taking notes? Come on, who's taking notes? Come on, who values the Word of God?
Amen.
Who's eating chocolate?
Me.
Who remembers last week's message title? Say it. Discipline is life. You know, honestly, I feel like the last 2 weeks I've been not harsh with you guys, but I feel like I've been real with you guys the past couple weeks. Can you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I promise you, it comes out of a place of love. And tonight's message, just to kind of tell you a little bit about it, for all who are taking notes, the title of tonight's message is Count the Cost. Count the Cost. I was thinking about it just today as I'm meditating on what the Lord's message would be for you guys, and I just want to know that my heart behind these past few weeks has been to encourage you guys. And really, especially with last week, my encouragement to you guys is to bring you guys to where I know you want to be.
Yeah.
To get you guys to be where I know you want to be in your relationship with God. Could you imagine if you heard God's voice clearly every single day? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing for you to wake up in the morning and you're praying in tongues, and the Lord says, hey, there's a pop quiz today. Who would want to know that, right? Or similar to Paige's testimony a couple of months ago, where the Holy Spirit told her, was it not a freeway or not a street?
Move your car.
Move your car. There we go. Where she parked her car and the Holy Spirit said what? Move your car. And remind me what happened. Another car parked there. Someone hit the car that was parked where she moved her car from. That'd be good to know, right?
Yes.
Come on, wouldn't that be good to know?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great for you high schoolers who are graduating this year? Wouldn't it be good for the Holy Spirit to tell you what the best paying job's going to be that's going to allow you to be off on Wednesdays and Sundays? Wouldn't that be great? Let me tell you, church, there's a cost to hearing his voice like that. Jesus says it this way. Let's go to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. We're going to read up to 33. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. I don't want to hold back with you guys. I don't. I want to give you guys the full truth. I want you guys to be set free by the truth. Amen? I don't want to baby you guys like the world babies you. I don't want to be like your teachers and counselors who validate emotions that get you in trouble. Who validate desires that lead to sin and worry and anxiety and depression. I don't want to validate what the world validates. I want to impart in you truth tonight. Amen? So Luke chapter 14, verse 25, right off the bat, it says, now great multitudes went with him. Who's him? Come on, who's him? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said, we're going to stay right here. He turned and said to them, there's great multitudes following Jesus. As I was meditating this, I can't help but I continue to be proud of my wife. She got saved. Amen. She's still saved, amen. And as you guys know, Candace didn't talk to her father for 10 years. She held on to unforgiveness. Now, that didn't go away when she got saved. But at some point, as she is following Jesus, he's going to stop and he's going to turn around and he's going to say something about it. In other words, she could not continue following Jesus until she forgave him. And amen that she didn't. And amen that he is her best friend. Well, one of them. I'm like the main best friend. Obviously. Right? I don't know where you're at, but we will all get to a point. I'm sorry to ruin it for you. Because sometimes when we get saved, we think we can hang on to a few things. Like, oh yeah, I love Jesus, I'm going to church, but I'm still going to hang on to this TV show that is dishonoring. Or I'm still going to hang on to this music that has lyrics that are not clean, that I know are not good for my soul. Or I'm going to hang on to this relationship, or I'm going to hang on to this person's number. But at some point, as you're following Jesus, he's going to stop, and he's going to turn around to you. And here's what it says. So verse 25, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Someone say, what? Wait, Jesus, you said the greatest commandment is to love God and love people, and now you want me to hate those closest to me? Yeah. Here's what he's saying. You guys ready? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have ears? Yes. To hear? Yes. Here's what he's saying, church. He's not talking about the hate the world the way the world says hate. Here's what he's saying. In my relationship with God, Candace doesn't have a say. Her opinion cannot change my relationship with God. My brothers and sisters, my parents, my family members. In my relationship with God, they don't have a say whether I draw near to him or not. That's what he's saying. He's saying, as you follow me, read it in context. You want to come after me? You can't care what they think. You can't care what they say. You can't care about their disappointment. I had been saved for about a year, and I had a family member come to me. Actually, I had a couple of family members come to me. One family member actually told me not to be an intern, and they were Christian. But one specific family member, we were in front of my grandma's house, and she doesn't believe in God. We're praying for her. Amen? Amen. Right, Alex? We're praying for her. But, geez, this is 2012, 2013. Here's what she told me. She said, at that time, I was probably 19 years old. And she said, by the time you're 22, this phase will be over. She said it so confidently, pretty arrogantly. She's like, by the time you're 22, this is just a phase. You're going to snap out of it. Well, I'm 31. And I'm really happy to be in this phase. Amen. As we follow Jesus, number one, we cannot. The moment you care what someone thinks, it will get in the way of you following him. It will. Every single time. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You cannot have Jesus and the world. He says, you cannot be my disciple. If you're going to care what people think, you cannot be my disciple. If you care about being popular on social media, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Verse 29. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake, what is that word, church? What is that word? Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I love that Jesus uses examples that can still translate to today. Now, obviously, we're not going to sit down and plan to go to war. We're not going to sit down and plan to build a tower. We already have a tower. Amen?
Amen.
But look at it. Have some ears to hear. When I was meditating on this, I really feel like Jesus uses word pictures on purpose. He's talking about following him. And here's what I felt the Holy Spirit say to us. We need to build our own tower. We need to build our tower. That is, what is that? Our relationship with God. But it will cost you. To have a fruitful relationship with God where he will speak to you, you have to lay a foundation. You build that tower, but it will cost you. In the spirit, we also go to war. And it will cost us. Listen, winning your war with your anxiety might cost you Instagram. It might cost you TikTok. And if you'd rather be anxious with TikTok, then that's on you. If you'd rather stay insecure on Instagram, that is on you. If you'd rather... I'm going to stop right there. At some point, as you follow Jesus, he will turn around and challenge you. I'm just going to read a couple of my notes. If the world gives you happiness, then the world can take it away. If it takes circumstances to be right, for people to treat you right, for you to be happy, then you're a slave to circumstances. Many of us really want what the Lord has. And the Lord wants to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. But in order for that to happen, he needs to prune us. Someone say there's a cost.
There's a cost.
Let me say something to you guys. The reward compared to the cost is nothing. The cost is nothing. The cost becomes nothing.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. If... I shared the story at some point last year, but I just feel led to share it again. Candace and I, we were at an airport in, I think it was in Colorado. And they had like these people movers, that's what they call them. They're big conveyor belts for people. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Some of you. And we hopped on one. And we were going, and we're like going to our gate. And as we're passing, there was these paramedics, and they were, and there was this guy. They had his like shirt open. They had like these monitors on him, and his wife was there crying, and his kids were there. I think it was two daughters. I think were there, and there's like these flight attendants who are like distracting, and he's just like he was kind of like convulsing. Right, he was having trouble. I don't know what exactly was going on, and we were. And as we passed him by, I told Kenneth, "Like, we have to go pray for him. We have to." See, in that moment, I can't care what everyone thinks. In that moment, I can't care what Candace thinks. So we reach the end and I start walking back, and I forget specifically what I did, but I think I just went up to where the paramedics were, and I just started praying out loud for healing over this man. And all of a sudden, I don't know if there was other Christians there, but all of a sudden other people started praying as well, and Candace was praying, and paramedics were still working on him, and the wife is hugging Candace and crying, and but I met eyes with a man who was convulsing, and he looked at me, and I saw him tell me, "Thank you." I just let the paramedics do the thing, and we went to our gate. But in those moments, the cost of me looking like a fool shouldn't matter. Does that make sense? I've already counted that cost. It's not going to cost me anything. You know what's going to cost me? Whatever's going to cost me should die anyway. Whatever part of me is I don't know if I should go do that or not, that is where I need to carry my cross and say that man needs to die because this other man needs prayer.
Yeah.
Amen? So let's talk about his presence. Let's look at the other side, amen? Let's look at the reward, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, just smile. There's a reward there. I'm not preaching doom and gloom and saying, guys, life is going to suck when you follow Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's going to cost you things that you don't want in the first place anyway. Amen?
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. There's a power in rejoicing that you will only find in Christ. I'm going to say it again. There is a power in rejoicing that you can only find in Christ. Listen, we can go around the room and we can just spew out all the things that we've gone through, including me. I can talk about how I've lost my parents. I can talk about other hardships, but will that produce life in us? Probably not. But when I say, you know what, despite everything I've been through, I can still rejoice in the Lord. You know what that makes you? It makes you free from circumstances. It means that the world doesn't have to cater to your desires, because all your desires are fulfilled in Him.
Amen.
Romans chapter 15, verse 13. This is who our God is. I said, this is who our God is. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Amen.
Listen, God cannot fill you if you're not with Him. Jesus cannot be your all in all. He cannot satisfy you like anybody else if you're not following Him. Can't get mad at Him if you're not following Him.
Right.
Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 through 25. If you guys can actually read this on the screen, because this is in the NLT. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
Amen.
Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. Someone say, duh. We knew that. Which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. This is what we talked about last week, right? Discipline will produce life. When we discipline ourselves, we'll change our cravings. When we discipline ourselves, desires follow discipline. Remember that? I know you do. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Everyone say what? And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, it's Jesus saying, you cannot be my disciples. Verse 22, here's the reward, church. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've talked to a few young people. Not saying it was you. Maybe it was you. But you guys are still learning how to control your emotions. Maybe you're still learning how to, you need help controlling your anger or outbursts. I know people in my family who have struggled with that. And you know it. You're like, I don't like being angry. I don't like saying mean things to my siblings. When you follow the Lord, when you build that tower, the Holy Spirit will give you the desire to be nice to your sister, to be nice to your brother, to be nice to your parents, to be nice to your pastor. Amen? It's not that hard, guys. It's really not. You spend time with Jesus, this is the fruit of spending time with Jesus. Amen. But are you willing to let go of your entertainment? Are you willing to let go of the things that entertain the flesh rather than crucify the flesh? Amen? Amen. Verse 23, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Amen. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. One more scripture and then we're going to wrap up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. This is also in NLT, so if you have a New King James, just look on the screen. Who likes to go deeper in the Bible? Every hand should be up. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework for those who like to go deeper. If you don't, just enjoy the message, amen? This verse right here, verse 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Read this chapter in context of that. And it's really good. Verse 17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know what you're dealing with, church. But God does not lie. If you walk in the Spirit, if you set our minds on the things of the Spirit, you will experience liberty. Amen? Amen? Verse 18, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And that's the end game, church. That is the goal. Jesus doesn't set you free for freedom's sake. Jesus sets you free so you can be with Him and then look like Him so that you could be the salt. You could be the light. You could be the one where they come to you and say, I want to know the Jesus that you know. I don't want to know the Jesus that was taught to me at school, or I don't want to know the Jesus that was taught to me at this so-and-so's church or this so-and-so's house. I said this to the leadership group last night, as the world gets darker, our battle isn't going to be to like win people to Jesus. I don't think that's going to be our battle. I think when crazy gets crazier, people are going to come to church. They're going to want to know God. I think the battle is going to be, are we representing Jesus the way we're supposed to? I think the battle is going to be over doctrine. Do we see and do we believe Jesus the way the Bible says? We're going to be fighting. Study up, church. Study up, church. Because one of these days, you might have to defend yourself against another Christian who has false beliefs. Amen? And it's not that Jesus needs defending, but you better know him enough to defend him. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Help us to just fall in love with you, God. I pray that as we walk with you, Lord, as we walk in the Spirit, I ask that you would give us your desires, Lord. Give us a desire to know your word. Give us a desire to worship you with more passion. Give us a desire to speak to you and to hear your voice, Lord. Everything that you bought for on the cross, all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, we want it all. But above all that, we want you, God. We want you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that people are choosing your Spirit over the world. I thank you, Lord, that people seek your freedom more than they seek the desires of the flesh, God. Help us, Lord, to come to the realization that nothing is worth more than the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I ask you that you make us clean this evening, God. Cleanse us by your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, can you guys put up that camp slide? I don't know if you guys know, but we do a camp every year. That was your cue, man. We're going to leave the slide up as we dismiss. Scan the QR code and save that link so you guys can register. We're going to have a great time, as we always do, up in Big Bear. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then I think that's all. We love you guys. Youth band, great job tonight. I love you guys. And you know what? Jason Moore, can you come pray us out?